Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 24th chapter of St. Luke, the Gospel text which has already been read. I was not allowed to play Little League Baseball. The boy is 9 years old. Put him to work. So I delivered papers after school. Cleaned the office on Wednesday evening. Washed 3 semis on Saturday. After confirmation on Saturday morning, the only time you could watch new cartoons. How was I going to become a Major League Baseball player if I couldn't even play in Little League? But when I turned 13, I was eligible for Babe Ruth League. Well, okay. But as long as you keep up your jobs and do your homework, my dad never came to any of the games. Surprisingly, to this day, I'm not traumatized by that. Didn't even occur to me at the time that my dad never came until, well, I think as an adult, somebody invited me to be scarred by that. Sorry, remain unscathed. And there was a smell to the ballpark. Dixon Park in Milan, there was a smell to it. Neighbors, plain neighbors. Popcorn and cigarette smoke, that was the smell. Popcorn and cigarette smoke in the late 60s, early 70s. You know, I've been to the Arizona Memorial in Honolulu several times, and there's a smell there. It's the smell of fuel oil. About a quart a day, been leaking up since December 7, 1941. And around here, in the fall, the smell of corn drying makes me look around for a truck to drive out into a field. And I wonder what it smelled like in that room. The one with all the doors and windows shut and locked. I wonder what it smelled like in that room on that day, the first Easter Sunday. I think it did not smell as good as it smelled here on the last Easter Sunday a couple weeks ago, and today as well. You come here on Easter Sunday, it's sort of like a Christian party, isn't it? A lot of celebrating, a lot of happiness. Jesus rose from the dead. That's kind of a big deal. And you come into this church and your eyes are forced to look up front and then up to the window. And the pews are put where they're put for a reason. And we have stained glass windows to look at here. Crosses, the processional on Easter Sunday. Flowers, banners, all things seen with the eye, some of them smell. And the ears hear the Easter hymns. And the trumpet duo, the trio couldn't make it this year. And the smell of the potpourri of flowers in our nostrils. And even after the flowers are gone, and they will be gone one day, there's a smell to church. A particular smell, probably to every church. And to a person. People who have been doing Facebook Live for about a year come back to church and they say, "It's good to be here." Nobody ever says, "I'm sorry I came." In fact, nobody ever says that any Sunday. Good to be here. Why? Why? Well, seeing people, being with people, talking with people, singing with people, listening with people, the smell of the wine in the sacrament, the taste of the bread, the body and blood of Jesus, live, and you can't get that with Facebook Live. Facebook Live does not engage all the senses like Church Live does. And besides that, live, you never know when there's going to be a crash. You never know when the acolytes are going to put the candles out. You never know when the pastor's going to forget to have you stand up for the gospel lesson like he's had you do 1,000 times. One time, I was distributing the host, and the kid went to bring it up to his mouth. Hit the tray, host all over the floor. What do you do with that? Well, it's like getting stuck. That's what you do with that. One time in Iola, Kansas, The pastor there pulled a Zig Hansen, had a heart attack right in the middle of church, live. He recovered, but he's dead now. What we read today, Luke relating the same thing that John, a different person, related to us last week, saying the same thing using different words. If you ask 10 children what happened at school today, you'll get the same story using 10 different sets of words and sentences. All true, maybe different focus, all true. John told us that when he came back a week later, they were still on lockdown. It must have been a little bit ripe in there, just a little bit. You know, the HVAC is a new thing, and their fear overcame their desire for fresh air. All the doors and windows, the Greek word there is thura, means openings. All the openings were shut, and if they were shut, they were locked. Nor had Netflix yet been invented. No internet, no Zoom. They were living in a world and a room lit only by candles, so I think they probably talked. Nothing else did they talk. They talked about Jesus. And Luke talks of them being troubled and having questioning in their hearts. And then, what's that? What's what? That thing in the middle of the room. What's that? Oh! So the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they talk about Jesus. Sometimes their words agree exactly. Sometimes they use different words to describe the same thing. Like any time, if you ask 10 people about that football game, even if you ask them about the big play, you would probably get 9 or 10 versions of that play, all of them true. John tells us that he can't possibly, in only 21 chapters, even begin to tell you everything Jesus did and said. Not all the books in the world, he says, would be able to hold all that information. Biographies of mere humans can run into the thousands of pages. Luke tells us that in his 24 chapters, he seeks to give the reader an orderly account. Luke is an organizer. And the content of those four Gospels is, for the most part, twofold. They tell us, firstly, what Jesus did. And they tell us, secondly, what Jesus said. What he did, according to the Gospels, was to live a perfect life, die a sacrificial death, rise from the dead, and ascended into heaven. Oh, and he did miracles. He did a lot of miracles. That's what he did. What he said was the word of God from the mouth of the word of God. God himself, telling people about God himself. During the Easter season, we omit the Old Testament reading in favor of readings from Acts. It's the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles. First of all, the Acts of the Apostles tell us what the apostolic church said. No surprise here. They preached and taught the word of God. And secondly, what the apostolic church did. Well, they did church. That's what they did. We saw that last week. And not everyone did miracles. The apostles did miracles. A few upon whom they laid hands did miracles. And that's all. That's all. Not everybody in the Bible does miracles. After he had chosen them, before Holy Week, Jesus sent the 12 out sort of on a trial run, maybe a little bit like vicarage, and they preached the gospel, and they performed miracles. Not everybody did miracles. They came back to him pretty pumped that they were able to do miracles. They were particularly impressed at their ability to cast out demons, which were very common in those days. And we saw last week, as far as doing, the first Christians regarded their material possessions as unimportant. Unimportant. And then they showed how unimportant their worldly goods were by voluntarily, nobody told them they had to, giving them away. That's how unimportant they were. They gave them away to other people. And you never know when the pastor's phone's going to go off, right? That's what they did. And today, we read just the aftermath of something Peter and John, two apostles, did. The reading, you may have noticed, began with the man clinging to Peter and John, who were about to speak. Why was this man clinging to Peter and John? Well, the clinging man had been born lame. He had never in his entire life taken a single step. Like Blanche DuBois, the man had always depended on the kindness of strangers for everything. Clearly, his family wasn't taking care of him. So he sat by the gate of the temple like those guys at the exit ramp on 53rd Street. All he wanted was some of your loose change. Anything you can spare, man. That's all he wanted. Asked Peter and John for alms. A couple dimes to rub together. Maybe score some fast food. He ended up kind of getting the mother load. Ended up with a trip to the buffet. John told the man to look at him. Peter says, I have no silver or gold, but I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. And then Peter reached down, took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Yeah, that's better than your spare change. That's better. Now he can maybe even work to provide for himself, which is the way humans are meant to do it. The healing, we know, was not gradual. It was immediate, complete. He was like the colt or the kid that just discovered he has legs. The man's walking and leaping and praising God just like that. And that's why we find him clinging to Peter and John as if his life depended on it, because they had looked at him, commanded his body to be well, and his body obeyed the word of God, and he was healed. And listen to Peter, what he says to people who are amazed at, well, they saw it all, they saw it all. Peter said to them, why do you wonder at this and stare at us? As if by our own power, we made him to walk. It was the power of Jesus done through them who healed this man. Done through them, but it was Jesus who healed this Christian man, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith which is through Jesus has given this man the complete health in the presence of you all. I found the egg. It was in the back seat of the car on the floor. Been there about a week, so I figured it probably wasn't much good anymore. Threw it away. I told you I'd keep you posted on the egg. A false dichotomy is a logical fallacy. And logical fallacies are legion. You want to see examples of logical fallacy. Most arguments on social media contain or maybe are totally logical fallacy. The dictionary definition of a false dichotomy is a situation in which two alternative points of view are presented as the only options when others are available. So like a false dichotomy, you can either go to the party with me or stay home and be bored. Do you like Obama? Or are you a racist? Is Christianity about creeds? Or is it about deeds? Creeds. What you believe, what you teach. Doctrine. Or creeds. Good works done by the individual or by the group. And one of the criticisms of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod collectively, and people like you individually, is that it's all about the doctrine. Why don't you do something, you people? Why don't you Lutherans do something? It's all about getting the doctrine teaching right. And you Lutherans, you're just pretty intolerant of other teachings. You even still use that term, false teaching. It's true. And that has been the nature of the Christian church from the time of Jesus and before and through the apostles and to today. The idea that doctrine isn't important, that's kind of a new idea. It's not a good one. Has been destructive to much of Christendom. But so had what I call acts of mercy, doing works of Christian compassion, done by individual Christians, done collectively as a group. Yeah, we do acts of mercy as well. It's not an either or. And that also goes back to Jesus, who healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He cast out demons. And he had compassion upon those sheep because, quote, they were like sheep without a shepherd, meaning there's nobody here to teach them correct doctrine. There's nobody here to love them and to give them what they need. Peter and John preached the law on Pentecost. The hearers were convicted of their sin. They asked, what can we do to be saved? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized and believe in Jesus. That's how you get saved. And Peter said those things because the Christian religion is learned, retained, and passed on by means of words and sentences. And that was a new thing. To us, it's kind of an old thing. That was a new thing. A religion that is passed on and learned by words, by talking. So I was listening to my book on tape this week, and the teacher pointed out that before Jesus, people went to the place where they thought God was. Even the Hebrews in the Old Testament traveled to the temple in Jerusalem because that's where God was. The pagans went to temples in various places to meet the various gods because that's where they were. Beginning with Jesus, who was constantly on the move, you don't go to God. God comes to you by means of that word, and you believe or not. After that, churches like this one, and you do come to the place where God comes to you here in word and sacrament, but the word continues to emanate like a great light into this community and around the world through part-time and full-time missionaries proclaiming God's word. Jesus was constantly on the move. Peter and John. The focus of the first part of Acts is on Peter and John are here, we notice, on the move. The second part of Acts, focus on Paul, is about his three separate missionary journeys where he was mostly on the move. He sometimes stopped moving, mostly on the move. He preached here. Some believed, some not. Then he went there and he preached, and some believed or not. And they left pastors there in those churches, which stayed put. And some of those churches are here still today, yet today. And not everybody did miracles. The miraculous healing stopped right after the apostles. Some of those apostles laid hands on a few more who did miracles, and then the miracles stopped completely. At least the kind of miracles Jesus and the apostles and Peter and John here did, I call them flashy miracles. Flashy miracles. On demand. They work the first time, every time. Hanging out there for everybody to see. Things like changing the water into wine, feeding 5,000. Those are pretty flashy miracles. Healing the sick. But the acts of mercy continued. After the miraculous healing of flashy kinds were faded away, the acts of mercy have always been there. After the acts of apostolic age, we do not have the ability to do flashy miracles. I can't do that. And how many people walk by that lame man without giving him a second glance or thought? And how many people saw the hungry people and did not feed them? But Jesus did last week. Christians voluntarily giving what they considered to be unimportant personal possessions to other people. That was a new thing. And we can't understand how stunning that was that people would do that. It's almost like a miraculous thing that these people are considering their personal possessions to be unimportant and just giving them away. Stunning. And there's nothing flashy about the nursing home or the soup kitchen or the food bank. Hospitals were started by Christians to better take care of the sick, perhaps to even heal them. You know, the nuns started Mercy and St. Luke in Davenport. Lutheran Hospital in Moline was started by Lutherans, and I think so was the one in DeWitt mostly. Nothing flashy about most of those acts of mercy that are done by Christians and the church all the time, and we don't even think about it. And I know it can be drudgery. Nothing flashy about taking care of your elderly parent. For much of human history, the solution to the elderly parent has been to leave them behind when you move or send them out back into the woods. And there was no glory for the mother in Kalispell, Montana, who changed the diapers of her adult special needs child, and many times and places her son Paul would not have even sniffed puberty. And the lame man did not ask Peter and John to make him walk. All he wanted was some pocket change. Got no money, but how about, well, look at that now. And the miraculous healings we see today are not flashy, often quite subtle, often done quietly. The cut that heals, the bone that mends. How's that happen? The person in the hospital, surely going to die. Prayers offered up, she lives. It happens all the time. There's no doubt about it. And we are learning, perhaps relearning, about all the things that God put in his creation that have the power to heal. That happens all the time, often attributed to, quote, nature, not to God. But God does want us to be healthy. He does. So subtle, so unnoticed by most of the world. Hospitals, modern medicine, the product of the modern Christian scientific movement. All of these are Christian things. We're just following our leader. Just following our leader. Like Peter. We take credit not to self, but give credit only to our leader. You know, the man in the middle of the room. Jesus, who came through those walls into that putrid, tomb-like room alive, a breath of fresh air, bringing life to everyone in that room, kind of like church. Peace, the first word from him to them. Peace, the last word today, wait for it. But first, miraculously, in, with, and under the bread and wine, oh look, who's that? It's Jesus. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.